hell are you doing out here, Picard? Saving the galaxy?
Engage.
Transfer complete.
Hello and welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and joining me on the Comic-Con bridge,
this is Tyler Orton, out saving the universe.
In cosplay?
7 of 9 cosplay.
It's that time again, folks. Comic-Con, which Tyler and I didn't actually go to, but we're here this week to talk about Picard and all the other Star Trek news that came out of the big 2019 fest.
Cam, Comic-Con has zero appeal to you and I. It just sounds like the most uncomfortable, like, shoulder-to-shoulder experience in the world, but
at least very, very expensive.
Yes, at least we get some good news out of this, and I'm happy to watch it from the comfort of my own MacBook.
So. Yeah, exactly. Especially, yeah, since I started streaming the panels after the fact,
yeah,
it's like, okay,
why go?
Why am I going and like losing my life savings on a hotel?
You only have $200 in your life savings?
That's being optimistic.
Yeah, okay. But Cam, let's just cut to the chase here. Mm-hmm. Star Trek Picard trailer, I think maybe that's what everybody wants to kick it off with here.
Right.
You tell me, what was the biggest shock upon shocks upon this? What had you most excited coming out of the trailer?
I think you and I had, you know, thought, you know, there's a good chance Data could pop up in this show, or Brent Spiner. I never dreamed that Jerry Ryan would be back as 7 of 9. If I'd been holding a cup of coffee, I would have dropped it like Chaz Palminteri in Usual Suspects.
Yeah, that was the moment that got me right there. That was got me hooked onto whatever the series is about, because I think there's a lot of speculation between you and I that it would be a lot of Romulan stuff going on.
There is a lot of Romulan stuff in this trailer.
There is, but then
they aren't highlighting it, though.
Yeah, it seems now that maybe the crux of at least the season one arc has to fall on maybe some sort of wrap-up to the Borg question that's been lingering ever since Endgame. And I wonder what that means for the future of this quadrant and for maybe the future of former Borg drones, because, of course, not just Picard and 7 of 9 or, you know, reformed Borg drones to a certain degree, but we also have one, Jonathan Delarco, returning as Hugh, which apparently we see his body on a slab or something.
Yeah, taking... I mean, it's unrecognizable. You could have said it was anyone. You could have said it was like Chakotay from that episode Unity.
Yeah.
Although I don't think he was actually in Borg makeup, but I like to remember him as being in such. But I mean,
he has the personality of a drone on the show anyway. So.
Sorry, Robert Beltran.
Yeah.
But yeah, like... Do you think with the 7 back on Picard that Robert Beltran will be there as Chakotay, her love interest?
He's waiting by the phone to get that call. I'll tell you that much.
He's going to be waiting a while longer.
Yeah.
But no, like I never would have recognized Hugh on the slab. I'm excited to have him back. But also, I mean, it's not as big a Jerry Ryan wow. It's still like,
really?
Well, Hugh, huh?
Okay, but it tells me, though, that they are actually taking this very seriously. In it's not just fan service-y stuff, though, because I think there are a lot of open questions about what the future of the Borg was going to be, you know, not just post-Voyager, but post-TNG, because it had two disparate storylines in the Alpha Quadrant with the First Contact and the Descent wrap-up, and then you also have what's going on in the Delta Quadrant as well, and that's almost a separate storyline that the Borg are doing. And if they can somehow combine it or acknowledge what's been going on, I think that's great. And the fact that they want to bring back Hugh, who has a very similar history to, say, 7 and Picard, but he was left in a position of potential leadership to kind of push the Borg in a different direction, and they never really seized on that. And that was kind of a disappointment. It is one of those lingering questions we have, and they want to address that. It tells me that the creators are thinking quite thoughtfully about what they want to do with this storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When they were talking about this Picard show months ago, they were saying it would be tied to, you know, one of Picard's biggest regrets. And you and I really thought it was going to be not uniting Romulus and Vulcan. Like, we were like, I can't think of a bigger regret than that.
Cowboy diplomacy.
Exactly. But it should have been kind of obvious to us.
Yeah.
And that, like, just from the point of view of a show producer putting a new Star Trek show out there to grab people, the Borg is massive.
I know,
and this
I know.
Is the show that would be the most obvious to tie to a Borg story. You know, people had said, could Discovery do the Borg? Could a Kelvinverse movie do the Borg? And it never seemed like a natural fit. We always thought they would do it more out of, like, our own cynical attitudes of thinking, well, of course they are. That's easy to sell. But with Picard, it makes complete organic sense.
And the closest I think we've ever gotten to touch upon that regret, which I think we are both assuming is from iBorg, with Picard deciding not to put some sort of virus back into the collective.
Yeah.
I think it's the drumhead, though, when Gene Simmons' character is the one questioning...
Rock and rolling all night.
Rock and partying every day. Yeah. It was questioning him about his decision not to do that. And does Picard have a great answer? I think he has a decent answer, but I can understand why, you know, people would try to hold him to account. And I think it's been haunting him, especially when you think about the fallout that has come since that decision, too.
Now, we saw the movie First Contact, which seemed to wrap up the Borg story from Picard's point of view. What do you think are the lingering stories, or at least, you know, inklings of ideas bouncing around that aren't resolved? Like, what could stick with Picard still that he feels is unfinished business?
So within the realm of the Borg mythology, or beyond that for Picard's own life?
I mean, whatever you think the show wants to tackle. Like, what was it that really, you know, because we found out Kirsten Beyer was the one who came up with this pitch that really won over Patrick Stewart. What do you think it was that was maybe outside the typical fanboy expectation?
Well, for me, I wonder if it goes back to maybe that constant question about Picard's legacy and the family issue there. Mm-hmm. I think he's eventually created his own family with the TNG crew, but no sort of offspring. And I wonder if they do tap into that. There's a lot of speculation about who that girl is, which I can't say.
I think her name's Dodge or Dodge.
Yeah, I can't say I'm exactly inspired by Picard having to shepherd along a girl with superpowers that she doesn't even know the extent of it. It's pretty much the storyline.
Did you get Firefly vibes?
I was thinking more Logan, where that's exactly, you know, Patrick Stewart in that same role once again. But it seems like a very kind of trite story that we've hit before. If they do something interesting with it, I'm down for it. But I was speculating. I haven't really come across any good theories about who she is. So right now, I'll put it out there. My best guess is some sort of offspring between Locutus and the Borg Queen. I don't know, but like through artificial insemination of some sorts, it's very confusing to me what she could potentially represent.
When we did our Borg episode way back a couple years ago, I think, we had some questions about whether we would ever see the next evolution of the Borg. Because everything we've seen in, obviously, on Voyager and TNG, it's kind of the same idea of the Borg. We've seen their society, you know, different facets of it that we didn't see, say, in early TNG. But ultimately, it's the same era of the Borg. Could this be, like, the next evolution, and she marks this?
I think it's totally possible. The other thing that
kind
I...
Kind of like the Children of Men type of story, but with her as some sort of next-gen Borg.
See, yet another one of those kinds of stories that Hollywood keeps going back to. This is a very common, you know, story, and I just hope they do something novel with it.
Or maybe they're going to do a poster?
Or maybe try to subvert our expectations to a certain degree.
Do you think they're going to do a poster of Picard walking along sincerely with her just beside him?
I'm sure.
In the hoodie.
And the new dog number one has to be on the other side as well. It's that's checking off every single box there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that I think is going to be interesting, we kind of touched on at the beginning, but the Romulan aspect, because
which is very subtle in the trailer. So much so, like, I would spot and be like, oh, that's a Romulan. But I didn't realize until I was going through, like, a shot-by-shot analysis how much, like, Romulan imagery had been worked in that I was just kind of getting glossed over more because, like, you know, you're throwing in a shot of Jerry Ryan. I'm like, wait, what did I just see? You know?
Oh, exactly. One of the things that I did notice right away, though, was that there is Romulan iconography on these Borg alcoves that we see there. And that's in that same facility that says, you know, 5,800 days without an assimilation.
Yeah.
But there's Romulan iconography there. So you kind of wonder, like, what path are they going down, especially knowing that Romulus has been destroyed?
Like, could it be, like, two broken societies merging together for some reason?
But, like, they want
I don't know what or why the Romulans would want to tie themselves to the Borg.
But is it the Borg as we know it, or is it maybe the Hugh version of the Borg? Because remember there was that kind of idea maybe of a Borg cooperative versus the Borg collective, you know, and pursuing, like, a different strain of the Borg that maybe proliferated and kind of with, as you say, two broken societies, maybe they can come together somehow. I don't know. All I can say is I am intrigued by whatever storyline they want to pursue here. It looks fantastic. This trailer, yeah. Just the cinematography, it looks very compelling. They are putting a load of money into this as well.
Yeah, and they're going to, I think, probably get a lot of subscribers out of this show, more so than probably Discovery brought in.
I would say, yeah, that's the case. The other thing that excites me, though, is just the delivery that Jeri Ryan is giving with regards to her lines. It's, you can tell 20 years have passed. It's not the same mm-hmm. 7 of 9 that we left off with. Annika might be back. I wonder if they are calling her Annika at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that gives me a lot of hope for kind of, they'll be doing something different with Patrick Stewart and Jean-Luc. And I think they've been very adamant that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down for evolutions with these characters. And this has me very excited to see what's next.
What do you think Picard is doing on that ship with those people?
I think he has to sneak this young girl across some sort of border or mm-hmm. something like that. Starfleet, we had that admiral, another one of those like admirals, super generic, who doesn't really seem to care what the captain has to say.
Why it wasn't Nechayev, I'll never know.
Maybe it was, and that's just Nechayev's new look.
Sure.
I don't know. But so maybe Starfleet is dismissive of Picard's concerns, and he's got to bandy together a ragtag crew and take this woman to safety. I don't know.
I've heard people float the idea that that's the bridge of a Borg cube that they're driving in.
Oh, okay.
That they're taking in.
But the Borg, they don't have bridges, though.
But maybe they have to build one for Picard and his crew.
Okay.
I've heard that theory floated, that's the ship, because they're not showing the outside of the ship at all.
Well, think about, okay, so that ship has a kind of a blue hue in the interior.
Hue's the Borg.
No pun intended there.
Yeah.
And then we did see that Borg cube that instead of the green hue that we're so used to, it had more of a blue hue as well. So I wonder, that could very much be a possibility. Or at least if it's not a Borg cube, some sort of Borg vessel that they're using, which would be interesting in novel for a Star Trek series. I'm down for them to shake it up with, look, Deep Space Nine was great because it wasn't trying to be Next Generation. Do we need to be on yet another Starfleet vessel? My own theory, though, is they were going to, I don't know, take the USS Yamamoto out of, mothballs and give him, like, a rundown Galaxy-class ship, just be like, pat him on the head, let him go on one last adventure. And they could have done some fan service-y stuff, but I just wonder if it would have been too slavish to kind of the imagery that's so familiar from the TNG era.
Right. The other question I have is, Picard is a diplomat, right? And we've seen him battle the Borg. Could he be, in his elderly age, wanting to be the diplomat and broker some sort of peace that allows the Borg to, work with the rest of the galaxy?
I totally buy that. And it makes me wonder, who would he be speaking to in this situation? I wonder if it lends itself to the reappearance of yet another familiar face here. I don't know.
The Borg Queen, perhaps?
Do you think the Borg Queen could be coming back, Cam?
I mean,
Alice Kriga is not fond of the makeup, but she did come back for Endgame.
Yeah.
And if not her, I think Susanna Thompson did a great job as a Borg Queen on Voyager 2.
I bet, though, they'd be back in the truck up for Alice Kriga.
I think they'd give her enough dollars. Yeah.
It would make sense, unless they just decide to go in a different direction, like we've kind of done the Borg Queen to death in Voyager, as well as, like, First Contact, she was so spectacular. Like, whatever this young girl is, like, maybe that marks something, like some sort of entry into some sort of communication.
Princess.
Sure, or some sort of communication with, who knows what role Hugh has at this point, right?
So the Borg Prince.
Exactly. Maybe something like that. Maybe it's about, the Borg have evolved so far that they're almost becoming somewhat human now. And so now they have to make decisions that actually are different than more of something that was machine-driven.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very... This show... I mean, we'd even said on the podcast, we were a little concerned about Picard. We were like, I don't really know what this is even going to be. I definitely want to know what this is now. Like, this trailer did its job in convincing me, not that the show is going to be great, because I think you make this trailer aimed at fans to win them over. You throw in Jeri Ryan shots or Brent Spiner shots, hell, Hugh, and it's the sort of thing that grabs people immediately and makes them just so excited. That doesn't mean the story is going to be great, but I'm on board with what they're showing. Like, it looks interesting.
The biggest issue I think that could come back to bite them in the butt, though, is maybe expectations are too high right now, and people might find themselves disappointed. But I think, honestly, most Star Trek fans are just going to be happy to see Jean-Luc reprising the role once again. There's always going to be cranky fans that nitpick this or that, but yeah, so you mentioned the return of Brent Spiner.
Yeah.
I see a lot of headlines that say Data's back.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is. I think it makes more sense that it's actually B4 that's back.
Brent Spiner kind of spilled that one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did in an interview at Comic-Con.
Okay, what did he say?
He's playing Data.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
So is it Data in a dream sequence?
Well, he didn't answer that, but the way he answered it was very vague. Like, he's kind of like, I'm Data, I'm only there for a bit, but I also have a presence. And I'm wondering if it's a holodeck thing.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's,
I can buy that.
That makes the most sense to me, because I feel like, you know, we see a android in a, like, in a drawer, yeah, right, being pulled out. It wouldn't surprise me if that's B4.
Could be lore. Yeah.
But I feel like that's what the, what that might be. I think if you are going to do a new Star Trek Picard show, you're going to do Data. If you're going to have Brent Spiner there, you're not trotting out B4. Even though, in terms of the continuity of what Nemesis set up, that makes the most sense. They just don't want him on screen being called B4, given all of the baggage to go with Nemesis.
The one thing that could tie back to the Hugh mythology, though, is maybe a return of one Lore, though.
Yeah.
You know, like he's been kind of mothballed himself at this point, but I do wonder if, look, no doubt we'll get Data. As you say, holodeck probably makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Maybe Lore's around for some reason, but the thing is, I don't want them to get, like, too up its own butt with, like, it's like this... Yeah. Fan service that's going to lose a lot of people, you know. Like,
I don't think it will, though, because Discovery could have easily gone that route, and I don't think it did. It worked in elements, you know, so you had Pike and Spock this past season on Discovery, and we were all like, oh, I think they're doing the Borg, and they weren't. They had their own story they were doing involving Section 31. I think they're going to take recognizable elements. We've seen Seven, we've seen Data, you know,
Riker and Troy are coming back.
Yeah, Riker and Troy coming back. I think you're going to have recognizable elements, but I don't think they're going to do a story that's tied completely to, well, this really depends on Lore to come in and resolve it or something like that.
Who do you want to see or what element do you want to see that maybe hasn't been confirmed or touched on just yet?
I guess the question is, do I want anything else? Or is this enough? Like, this is quite a bit for a first season, for what we've been told is an ongoing show.
Yeah.
Is this enough? The only thing is, in the Comic-Con panel, Patrick Stewart was asked by a fan. They said, like, has he been seeing his crew, you know, his previous Next Generation crew? Does he go to weddings or birthday parties or anything like that? And Patrick Stewart said, no, he hasn't seen them in a long time.
Okay.
And so having Riker and Troy back is awesome, but are we happy with this show not bringing back, say, a Geordi or a Worf if he hasn't seen them in a long time? And when this show ends, I don't know how many seasons it's going to run, but this is very much like the epilogue to the life of Picard show. We aren't going to see another Picard show in 20 years. So do we want to see that show exist without having some sort of closure or moment involving Worf, Geordi, some of the other characters who we haven't heard mentioned?
I'm perfectly okay if they wait until season two or season three. I mean,
that's
like,
the way I feel too.
I don't even feel as if we need to do it, but I think that there's just going to be so much fan outrage, and I think the creators know that. And I think, honestly, the people in the writer's room, they're like, you know what? I want to write for Geordi. I want to write for Worf. These are iconic characters, and I can come up with a good excuse to bring them into the fold here. So, and I'm not saying I want them in for like a 5-episode arc. Give him a meaningful cameo. And I do mean meaningful at this point, you know? And so I think that'll be good enough just to give it a little bit of a coda for a lot of these very iconic characters who, let's be honest, this is probably going to be like the last chance we really get to see them realized on screen, unless Riker jumps into another holodeck program for the Discovery series finale somehow.
I guess the one I want to see the most is Crusher, because there's just so many lingering questions as to what happened with the relationship with Crusher.
Wesley is in your bureau. I get it, man. So, Cam, lots of news coming out of this. Well, why don't we jump over to the short treks? There's that trailer that came out.
Yeah.
I was very excited about that. You and I speculated that the short trek from Michael Chabon Q&A was, in fact, about Q.
Yeah.
It's not. It's actually about, I guess, Ensign Spock and Number One stuck in a turbo lift together.
Right.
It looks fantastic, though. This is exactly what I want to see in like a 15-minute short trek. It's essentially Spock sitting there asking Number One nonstop questions, hence the Q and Q&A.
Yeah, this looks really fun.
Yeah. Look, there's also going to be like a Pike short trek with him having to deal with some sort of prison escape or something like that. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't have me nearly as excited. It mostly just seems like Pike yelling at people or something.
He'll do it magnetically.
Oh, I know. We also had more confirmation of that we'd get two animated shorts as well. Yeah. And so it also sounds like there's going to be a Number One centric sort of short trek featuring Spock, and then a Spock centric short
trek. The Spock centric one is the one about his first day on the Enterprise.
I'm intrigued by Ensign Spock. I think that's
he's a keener.
That's very much a Canadian term, but
is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, keener means like more of a kind of a brown noser.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we had a friend who actually called us out on that one.
Had no idea what a keener was.
He thought we were saying Keenster.
That's true. I'm also a little curious about this Tribble short trek. And
the first time Tribbles are brought onto the Enterprise. Which of the three Enterprise short treks do you think that is? It's probably Spock's first day.
I was thinking it was maybe the Number One. Well, no, is the Number One centric one supposed to be
with Spock in the Turbolift?
So Q&A.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless it's the Pike one.
Because the other short trek is the Picard prequel, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's tough to say.
Yeah. These short treks are really cool. My only question with the short treks is, like, what is the, what's the word? Like, not the longevity, but, like, when all is said and done about the Kurtzman era of Star Trek, where do short treks even fit in? Like, are these something that is considered the canon that people constantly revisit and fold into the overall mythology of the show? Or is it kind of like, oh, yeah, like, you know, The Office had those webisodes?
Right.
Who watches those?
I watched them once, like way back in the day. I've never returned to them.
And that's not, I never watched them. I don't know, were they any good?
No, not really.
They weren't. Okay, well, the short treks have been good. Yeah. But I do wonder, except for Runaway, but I do wonder, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, how many people really consider them to be essential to what the Kurtzman era will be at the end of the day?
Well, you know, I say the fact that they tie back to storylines that we did witness in this past season of Discovery. I think that they are, at this point, essential viewing. And I think that they will only grow in our estimation moving forward. And I think, look, a Picard prequel of some sorts?
Yeah.
I think that'll get people watching.
How do you think they will release those when they do Blu-ray releases?
Well, that's what I've kind of been wondering, because we were able to watch it. It actually aired in Canada on cable television.
So weird, right? It's like so a 13-minute short film.
Yeah, but we'll take what we can get. We're literally the only country in the world where Star Trek is broadcasting on television.
We got to watch Runaway on the big TV. Screen in prime time.
So otherwise, after that, they did release them on the Canadian streaming channel Crave, much like how Netflix got it internationally after a while, and how the Americans were able to watch it on CBS All Access. So I was thinking about like the Blu-ray release. I think we'll see them on the season 2 Discovery Blu-ray release, just because they are tied to the story, right?
But like the group going forward, like, does this Picard short trek wind up on the Picard Blu-ray? Like, are they breaking up these shows? We'll probably get Section 31 short treks. Do those show up on the, you know, Section 31 season 1 Blu-ray? That's where I'm really curious whether they become more of a supplement to the actual shows on the home video releases.
I think they're going to force us to buy individual discs featuring these short treks movies.
Do you think they would just put out the short trek Blu-ray set?
I hope not. I really genuinely hope not. Like, it just seems as if it'd be too difficult to keep track of everything. Mm-hmm. I say this. Put the Discovery-related ones on the Discovery discs. Put the Picard-related ones on the Picard disc. But then, you know what? What are they doing with the animated ones? I have no idea how the animated stuff ties into it.
I know. That's where it's going to get really confusing.
Maybe we'll just put them as special features on all of the releases moving forward.
Maybe, yeah.
That might just be the easiest thing, so people aren't complaining so much.
Yeah, that could work. I have real questions, too, about the Picard short trek, the one 15 years before the events of Picard, Star Trek Picard. I'm like, what is this?
It's a contemporary Tom Hardy reprising the role.
Well, I thought of that. I was like, that would be hilarious if Tom Hardy showed up as Picard.
Well, either that or James, who plays new Professor X?
James McAvoy.
Yeah. It could be one of those two.
Do you think that this prequelish story even features Patrick Stewart, or is it some sort of side story that just sets up the universe for where we are when Picard starts?
How do you call it a Picard prequel without...
If it's a show prequel versus a character prequel, it could be setting the status quo for what the show is going to be.
But 15 years in the past.
Or is it this great mission he took part in before his retirement?
I don't know. All we can do is speculate, and I don't have any really good guesses at this point.
I know, me neither.
Yeah. Cam, some other stuff that we got out of Comic-Con, though. Star Trek Lower Decks. I think this is the one you and I talked about it. We were most excited to see, just because our expectations aren't nearly as sky high as they are for Star Trek Picard, and they're playing within this Star Trek universe. It's not going to be over reverential, but it's also going to be, you know, respecting kind of the spirit of Star Trek with a comedy series. And look, I think Star Trek is ripe for comedy. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at the pedigree behind it.
Runaway.
yeah, that was a barrel of laughs. But if you look at the pedigree behind it, Mike McMahon, the show creator, he was the one responsible for the Escape Artist short trek, which was just a delightful short trek that was very much within the spirit of Star Trek, but having fun with the universe, too, and with comedy, too.
Plus, of course, the TNG Season 8 Twitter account, which was hilarious.
So I think we know that they've got like kind of good creative juices aflowing at this point, and we got to see some character designs come out of it, half of them junior officers, half of them senior officers. Cam, we're kind of joking around about this, but does not one of the characters look shockingly like me?
It's eerie.
It's really weird.
I looked at it, and I was like, that is odd. And we had a friend who did an animated version of the two of us.
Yeah.
And it looked somewhat similar.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, hold the phone.
It looks like an animated Tyler's face.
Yes.
Obviously, this is my new favorite character in all of Star Trek.
Yeah, that's Boimler. Brad Boimler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling myself Brad Boimler at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, like, Lower Decks is a show that I feel sorry for it, in a way, at Comic-Con, because it's an exciting thing. Like, I'm really excited to see an animated Trek show that's irreverent and pokes fun at the tropes of Star Trek. I think it's going to be a blast. But to throw it at Comic-Con opposite Picard and even the short treks, you know, with the Pike stuff, it just felt like
it's getting lost
no one
shuffle.
Cared. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah, whatever, the kids show. Give me Picard. And, you know,
but it's not the kids show,
It's not a kids show, yeah. But I saw a lot of comments online indicating as such. I think there is a bit of general confusion because we know there's another Nickelodeon kids show.
Yep.
I think there is some general confusion as to that there are two. Like, we know, our listeners, of course, know, but I get the sense more from maybe the more, you know, the Star Trek fans that don't read the ongoing development news. They're a little confused and think it may be the same show.
Let's be honest. They're going to watch it no matter
what. Oh, of course, of course.
And I wish there was a clip that came out of it just so I can get a better sense of, say, the comedy pacing and the tone of the series. But I like the animations. I like kind of the diversity of the crew that we got to see here.
Yep.
The designs look cool. Like, it looks how I want to envision like an animated series. And we do know that it takes place in the late 24th century as well. And I think there's a lot of speculation about what exactly the time period would be. And I think we both like the idea that if you look at Discovery, if you look at Picard, if you look at Lower Decks, Star Trek is moving forward in the universe. You and I, we did an episode a couple years ago about, you know, Star Trek's prequel paradigm or what have you.
Right, yeah.
We were talking about how there's like this interesting obsession with doing prequels for like the last 15 years. If you look at Enterprise, the Kelvinverse, Discovery, why is Star Trek not moving forward? Look, they're doing it in full throttle at this point if you look at what we're going to be seeing even with Discovery moving forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Lower Decks, what I really loved was that there's a Cajun character, the Doctor, Dr. Tana, who is, of course, going to be, you know, evoking Mares from the animated series. Sure. I loved that when they made this animated show, they were like, let's throw a character in that references an animated icon from the animated series.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And I did wonder, the name of the first officer is Jack Ransom. We know that Mike McMahon is a big Star Trek fan.
Okay.
Ransom.
You think this is a reference to one Rudy Ransom from Equinox?
It has to be, right? Like, he has to know this.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be some sort of reference point for this or something.
It's either brothers or something like that, or father-son, I guess. I guess it could line up with father-son.
Could, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Jerry O'Connell is playing one of the characters as well, doing the voice work for one of the senior crew members. So it's just interesting that they're kind of keeping it with family. He, of course, is married to Rebecca Romijn, who plays number one. Are you surprised we didn't get any sort of, like, Pike spinoff news? We just got more Short Trek confirmation.
Well, Alex Kurtzman did, like, ask the audience.
Can I read that quote?
Yeah, go for it.
It's hilarious. Here is Kurtzman's quote. There is speculation about Pike and Spock and number one getting their own show. So I guess the question for you guys is, do you want them to get their own show? Crowd roars with a positive affirmation. Okay, we will think about it. With a smile.
Yeah. So we're getting this show.
It's just
a matter of time.
I think they maybe just did not want to be overcome with all the Picard news. I think they know that they can kind of get the news cycle going a little bit longer with this announcement of a Pike spinoff.
We also don't know what the potential issues are in terms of scheduling a Pike show. It's funny, at the same Comic-Con, Marvel had their big panel, which, my God, the news that came out of that one.
Sure.
But they announced Mahershala Ali is playing Blade. And a lot of people were like, wait, when is Blade coming out? Because their calendar seems pretty packed. And it's news coming out today. Well, that's going to be probably like 4 or 5 years from now.
Sure.
And it's like, okay.
Well, don't you think he must make an appearance in the next Doctor Strange movie, though?
It seems like you want to set that character up.
Yeah.
It does seem odd to make the announcement and then be like, that's about 5 years from now, you know, when the actor's about 50. And you're like, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would...
Still younger than Robert Downey Jr., though.
True.
So
I would almost rather they not announce Pike until they know they can slot it in somewhere, as opposed to going out on Comic-Con, throwing the big, you know, video screen up, and then being like, coming your way in 2023.
And we'll recall that we were originally expecting to have Picard out this fall, and then they dropped the bomb, letting us know that it's actually going to be early 2020. So that's creating a lot of speculation about when Discovery will be premiering. I think it's we're going to have to be waiting a lot longer than we did this last gap here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe spring of 2020 for Discovery versus, you know, the early winter.
Yeah.
And we don't even know when the Lower Decks is going to be on either. So
I'm glad they're not honestly just throwing dates out there.
Yeah.
Because as we saw with Discovery, they actually did throw dates out for, I think, the first season, and they kept pushing them back.
Mm-hmm.
And I would prefer they just say, you know what? It's coming that year. We'll figure it out later. Don't, like, build up my hopes with dates that are going to get pushed.
So, question for you, and maybe we can go a little bit more into it in a few moments here, because I do want to tackle Star Trek Discovery news that came out of Comic-Con, too.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, you and I, we're going to be at the big Las Vegas convention in, you know, very soon. Like, we're recording this on Monday, July 21st or 22nd today.
22nd
today. So we're a week from now, we're already going to be in Las Vegas, in basking in the brutal desert heat.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if maybe they wait for the Pike announcements until Vegas. We did get the Picard announcement, which was huge last year. They didn't do that at Comic-Con. I wonder if they wait for Pike until Comic-Con.
We know that Anson Mount...
Until Las Vegas.
Oh, until Las Vegas, yeah. We know that Anson Mount and...
Ethan Peck
will be there.
I've got my photo up lined up with one Anson Mount already.
Yeah. We haven't heard any references to Picard people being at Star Trek Las Vegas yet.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be a surprise. But if they are, I wouldn't be surprised if Alex Kurtzman is there. And if he perhaps is there with Peck and with Mount, maybe there is some announcement. The only thing is, I wonder if it's just too soon to announce a show that they don't know where they're going to put it. Like, I think we're going to find something out, but I'm almost wondering if it's something smaller, like, I don't know, maybe another Picard cameo or something like that. I could see that. Like, the eyes of the world are more on Comic-Con, whereas I feel like the Star Trek Las Vegas news, if there is any, will be a little smaller.
I kind of think that they must, okay, it's pure speculation on my part, but I was doing a little math. Ted Sullivan is no longer with Star Trek Discovery at this point. He said, off to new things. When I was following his Instagram feed, he was all over the Picard exhibits over at Comic-Con. He's taking a lot of photos. He still has a clear devotion to the franchise at this point. I wonder if they, at a certain point, they're like, hey, Ted, you like this Pike character? Do you want to help kind of shepherd a new series going forward, and maybe they're already deeper into the story-breaking process than we would speculate at this point. I don't think it's out of the question that we could see a Pike spinoff, you know, fall 2020. And I think if you look at, look, Picard in early 2020, we have Discovery in spring 2020. I think we could fit in a Pike spinoff by the fall. We already have the sets, the costumes, most of the casting at this point.
True. All you really, not voice.
Not not yet. But I can't wait to see young voice. Actually, no, I guess he'd be older than we saw him in the cage.
I don't think Boyce was ever young.
But what I'm getting at, though, is like all the hard stuff is out of the way.
True.
All they need at this point are scripts.
Yeah.
I think it could happen sooner rather than later. And I don't think it's wild speculation on my part, even though it's just pure speculation. Mm-hmm, so I don't know. Fingers crossed that you know we get some news, some confirmation. This is something we all want. I think we all fell in love with Ethan Peck as Spock. We all fell in love with Anson Mount as Pike. We're all hoping that number one gets a lot more to do moving forward with whatever just beyond these short treks. Yeah. So the idea of the series excites the fans quite a bit. And I think like with Kurtzman's quotes, they're like, oh, do you guys want one? Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like, okay, well, why are you just trolling people like
that?
Yeah,
like he wouldn't ask that if they had zero interest in making this show. Yeah.
Could you imagine his dismissive response? No. Pike who?
I mean, if they didn't want to make that show, they wouldn't talk about it.
And they wouldn't be doing these short treks either.
No.
Yeah.
No. So. They would not be bandying about the cast. Because even Ethan Peck was and Rebecca Romijn were at the Comic-Con panel.
Yeah.
For their short treks. Like, come on.
Okay. So beyond that, let's wrap it up a little bit with Star Trek Discovery news. We find out there's a new character who's going to be in season 3, maybe recurring. It's unclear at this point, but it's one Cleveland Booker. He's a man who's all about breaking the rules, according to the actor playing him.
Yeah, he isn't exactly what you expect right away.
Wow.
I hate these types of quotes.
I know.
Like, I know that all these actors are so media trained to say things like this that mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of worth digging up the 10-minute post-panel interview with the Picard cast where Spiner starts slipping stuff and the rest of the young cast jumps because they have been so, it's so ingrained in like, obviously like the 20, 30-something-year-old actors to not let anything ever slip. But you see like Brent Spiner's like, ah, whatever, I don't know.
Well, Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis are notorious about letting things slip. Maybe there's a reason why they weren't asked to come to Comic-Con.
Possible.
I'm very serious
apparently
about that.
Apparently, Frakes missed his plane.
Okay.
Or his plane was delayed or something. Missed the plane.
Okay.
He's like racing in a taxi, like, slow down.
His head sticking out. He's like holding onto a fedora on top, you know.
Although it's weird. If he missed the plane, where was Sirtis?
I don't know.
She was with him, I guess.
Yeah. they had to split an Uber.
It's like playing the Home Alone scores. They're like racing the taxi all over the place.
Yeah. This book character, I'll just be honest. So we're introduced to one Kraft in Calypso.
Yeah.
His storyline is left open there. Look, both characters, they have nouns for names. They're human characters. They're both men of color. I just wonder if the Eldis Hodge, who played Kraft, was available, if this is kind of essentially the function he'd be serving moving forward into this season. And I also wonder if maybe that leaves a door open for Kraft to make an appearance if this new series that he's on with Kevin Bacon, Showtime series, I haven't watched it yet, but it got okay reviews. But I wonder if it, at some point, I don't know, his schedule opens up and he's able to make some sort of reappearance. I don't know. I'm intrigued by that because I thought Calypso was just exquisite.
Even just like the single syllable name, like Book, Kraft.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, that sounds a little fishy.
A little on the nose. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm excited to see what this character does on the show. It's the sort of announcement, though, that you're like, I guess. Sure.
I'll say this. So the production stills that they did release, it looks as if this is from their time shooting in Iceland. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
So they know how to get me excited by giving to me almost nothing about Star Trek Discovery. And you and I, we've never been more excited about the direction of Star Trek Discovery than we have right now. So
yeah, Jonathan Frakes is doing a couple episodes, isn't he?
Sure. But I'm just... thinking, okay, this is, it's another one of those, like, sort of Star Trek panels where everything's just going to get like swallowed up by the Picard news. So
yeah,
what can you
and
do?
They weren't really saying anything of real interest. No. They're saying, you know, we're going to adhere to canon, but bend it. Sure, whatever that means. First off, I don't know that there's that much canon to really mess around with.
1,000 years in the future?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe there's like the time traveling people from, where were the police from? Like the time travel police who were on Voyager. What century were they from?
Or are you thinking about Trials and Tribulations?
They are in Trials and Tribulations, but they're also in an episode of Voyager as well.
I think those are different organizations, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you talking about the one, the follow-up with Captain Braxton? That one where...
Yeah, it might have been. It was a 7 of 9 episode, I think.
Yeah, so that was that featured Captain Braxton, and that was the 29th century. There.
29th, okay.
So we're now, I believe, in the 31st century. So
32nd? I think it's the year 3187.
Okay, so that'd be 32nd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I in that case it's still like 200 year or 300 years later, so it's still lots of time for Starfleet to no longer be such a recognizable organization.
Sure.
So I'm intrigued by what the new world order is, so to speak, in this era. So
where was the temporal Cold War being waged from in Enterprise?
I think 30th century.
30th, damn it.
Yeah.
I thought we might find out who Shadowy Guy was.
I just think that they want to go really far ahead, and so they don't have to be devoted to all this other canon stuff. And I think maybe that it stifled them creatively to a certain degree in the previous two seasons, you know.
Yeah.
But I think they had fun playing within canon and the things that they could do, whether it's mm-hmm. Spock or Pike or what have you. So I'm intrigued by this. The one thing else, Kurtzman's like, yeah, we'll address who's in command of, you know, Discovery moving forward, because we kind of left that up in the air.
Yeah.
I'll be kind of bummed out if it's not Saru.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes sense that it's kind of his turn to...
They're like, it's Ash Tyler. He was hiding in steerage the whole time.
Can't wait.
The other thing they said was that Burnham and the crew would be separated off the top, and I'm like, yeah, that'll probably be for about an episode.
Maybe two.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
Sure.
Fine. Fine by me.
Yeah, whatever.
Right. Cam, some other little tiny tidbits, and then maybe you and I can just talk a little bit about this Las Vegas convention that will be hitting up, though. They did announce over the weekend that Star Trek The Motion Picture is going to be getting a 4K transfer at this point.
So. Or at least it's rumored. I don't think it's confirmed yet.
I thought it said it was confirmed, though.
I thought he said Paramount was weighing it quite strongly.
I think... I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that's...
Maybe we're both mistaken. I think it's all vapor.
No, but... I think what happened is in our WhatsApp group, a friend of ours said that there are rumors, but then I read a news story that said it's going forward. And what it really was speculation about the release date, because I think they wanted it in time for this year, and then they realized they weren't going to be able to do it.
Right.
So we've got that. The other thing...
I'm very excited because it's the director's edition, and the director's cut is superior to the theatrical, I think. And the only version of it in existence now is on DVD, and a lot of those effects don't look great.
Yeah.
And I would love to see a Blu-ray edition of it. I think that would be... Yeah. That's essential to me, because if you're going to have your motion pictures of Star Trek in a format that continues to exist with advancing technology, you don't want to lose that movie, and you want the best version of it out there, and I do think that's the director's cut.
Are you inviting yourself over to watch it on... At my place, then?
Maybe I'm buying a 4K TV just for it.
All right.
That's what gets me to drop the money is the TV, is the motion picture.
The other bit of news here is we're going to get a new official Star Trek podcast. I don't know. I'm not.
The Jordan Hoffman one, I guess, is no more. We got a new one.
Yeah. Their explanation for Hoffman's thing didn't really make sense. They said, like, CBS has a different division in charge of radio, and they were in charge of podcasting, and the explanation never made sense to me. I just wonder if maybe they weren't 100% pleased with what it was doing, or like I just never, like, you and I both really like Jordan Hoffman, but I just don't know what the raison d'etre of that podcast ever was. It was just very unclear to me, and I wonder if CBS wasn't 100% satisfied with what it was doing.
Right.
I also think that they're really hamstrung by doing any sort of official podcast, because you get access to actors or writers. Are you going to get really critical thought? It's more like, hey, you're awesome. Tell me why this is such an awesome episode that you just put out this week.
Or a lot of the stuff you see, I thought After Trek was okay. Like, I think
it improved.
It improved
a
lot. Yeah. But some of the other shows like it, like Talking Dead or Talking Bad, the Breaking Bad one. That's the one I watched like maybe one or two of. I thought they were pointless.
Yeah.
It was literally actors being like, wasn't that crazy? Yeah, that was really crazy.
Hey, let's just describe what you just watched
exactly.
on screen.
To me, that is complete crap filler. So I hope that whatever this new Star Trek podcast is, it offers something insightful. Even if it's just digging into like elements of Star Trek's past and telling those types of stories. I know Larry Nemechek recently did that whole investigation into the woman who played Isis the Cat.
Oh, yeah.
In Assignment Earth. I would love if they did stuff like that. Like, just dig into these kind of unknown Star Trek stories and at least give us something that, if it can't be giving us behind-the-scenes dirt on Discovery or really, really critical reviews of Picard.
Brian Fuller is the guest star every single episode.
Sure, yeah. But if they can't do that without doing it in a way that's actually engaging for fans that actually want to hear critical thought, that they're at least doing kind of a almost like a serial or something that's kind of investigative into Star Trek's past that's really interesting for fans, that would at least be of value to me. Because if it is just an official mouthpiece for Star Trek content...
Cam, I don't think we'll be listening to this week to week.
No.
And mostly just because they're now our competitors.
That's
so
right.
There you go. So Cam, you and I, we're going to be in Vegas next week for the big Star Trek con. So if anyone else is going there, say hello to us. I think maybe we want to keep our... We are doing a panel. I think we're keeping it on the DL for now what the topic is. But I think we've said before, listeners will love this panel. And I think maybe... with all the news coming out, you'll want to be there for our panel as we dive into it with some different takes, especially, and not just like the Picard news, but like just other things that we're finding out about Star Trek this past year. And it's going to be a great one. But for you, just what is kind of the highlight for you going to Las Vegas every year? This is going to be your number 9th trip, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This will be number 6 for me.
Actually, no, this is my 8th. I always get mixed up. It is my 8th.
Oh, okay.
Yes. What is the highlight? For me... And I wouldn't say this for most Star Trek cons, but it's the unknown with this one. And that I really do feel there's going to be some unknown factors going in, and I can't wait to see what they are.
The weekend looks like it's going to be busy with a lot of high-profile things, which is why I'm glad we're doing our thing on Thursday morning. I think we specifically asked Creation Entertainment, can we go on Thursday?
Tentatively, we should say, or Thursday morning.
Yeah, it's not 100% confirmed that we are doing Thursday morning, but that's what they said tentatively. So mark your calendars either way. But I don't know. Like you said, there's a lot of like question marks surrounding what we're going to get out of this, and I think it's going to be fun no matter what. I'm curious if there's going to be any interesting merch there. We saw some Star Trek Picard stuff, like, look, wine glasses.
Yeah.
If they're selling those, I'll buy one. You know.
Good luck transporting those back in the suitcase.
I will be carrying them in my carry-on, Matt. But like you said, so Kim, I just got back from Spain and Portugal a couple weeks ago. And
How did you do that, Tyler? You're doing podcasts every week.
Ooh, yeah. the dumbest purchase I made was I bought a Bruce Springsteen Portuguese release, and I was like, oh, this is great. It's only like €5 or what have you. This is an exclusive Portuguese release. Carrying a vinyl record around with you in Europe, on buses, on flights, it was an absolute nightmare. I was smacking my head. So I will be aware that those wine glasses, I will have to find a lot of paper to pack them in if I do buy those.
I remember when I went to Australia in 2004, I bought a few Australian release CDs, which were far easier to transport.
I can imagine.
That was like, that became like my number one souvenir I would buy would be like Australian editions because they were so easy to carry.
And don't they have like additional tracks on them too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they were great. Still got them.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued by the merch. I'm intrigued by what's the behind the scenes people. Those are the ones that you and
There's the 40th anniversary panel on the motion picture. I'm so excited for.
You and I love going to the more behind the scenes sort of people. I think we kind of get a lot of the same stories from some of the older actors. So that's why I'm actually more intrigued by what the Discovery folks might have to say and maybe potentially the Picard people if they show up too.
Well, the ones I'm actually really excited about are seeing like Anson Mount and Ethan Peck
now. Yeah.
Because the show is over. Like, their season is over. They can talk about it in depth. Whereas, like, I saw Anson Mount last year, and it's a lot of, well, what I'm hoping to bring to Pike is a sense of this. And you're like, well, hopefully he accomplishes that.
Yeah.
You know?
We're going to have fun with photo ops, too. There's going to be some evening events featuring actors serenading the crowds.
And yeah.
It's always fun. You and I, we go...
It's a blur is what it is.
It really is. Like, we're there for 9 days, I think.
Yeah.
We're there a few days before it starts and a few days after it ends.
Just practicing the panel over and over.
Just pacing in our room nightmarishly as sweat protrudes from our pores. But I look forward to this every year. So listeners out there, say hi. We've had other listeners in the past, you know, come up and say hi. And
have rooms right next to us even.
Yeah, that was such a crazy story. Like one of the listeners literally had a room next to ours.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we did not make the most of it and crash their place and party every single night. But
Toga.
But hopefully, maybe this year.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, we're excited. Cam, just for you and I personally, this is turning out to be very long work weeks for us respectively in our own different jobs. And we really want to go on vacation.
Badly.
Only Monday right now.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Although it's Wednesday when people are hearing this, Wednesday, Thursday, so we're already that much closer.
Exactly.
So just counting the days. Okay, so I think on that note, our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, we want to hear from you. Jump on over to the Facebook page at facebook.com/subspacepod. Now, Tyler, what are we doing next week?
Cam, we actually meant to do this a couple months ago, but got a little sidetracked. But we are going to be tackling the fine art of a season finale. Think about Discovery wrapped up just a few months ago, and I think it's going to be fun for us to dig into what makes a good season finale and how they kind of differ from series to series and how season finales have evolved and maybe what we can expect from the future season finales in Star Trek.
Awesome. Okay, so you can, of course, find us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam, V as in V'ger in 4K, Smith.
You can find me at Reportin, that's R-A-P-O-R-T-O-N, N as in 9, comma, 7 of is dumping Chakotay in the series premiere of Star Trek Picard.
Okay, so until next time, the arena is closed.
Transfer complete.